Sinn Féin are continuing and introducing legislation, have introduced legislation and proposals for the government to prepare for Irish unity, saying it represents a unique, original legislation which hasn't been done before. The parties tabled legislation which, if accepted, would compel the Taoiseach to produce a green paper examining the implications of constitutional change within 18 months. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail is Sinn Féin Deputy for Kerry and Climate and Transport Spokesperson for the party, Deputy Pat Daly. Deputy Daly, good morning to you. And I know initially you'll want to reference the shocking situation in Killarney, the discovery of Jamie Carney's body yesterday.
Yeah, just very briefly, Gerry, I just wanted to express my sympathies to the family. I knew people who knew her, and because she was involved in some organisations. I know people in Killarney. So just my deep sympathies to her family, and I hope that whatever investigation is going on can progress as quickly as possible. I don't want to say too much more about it.
Indeed. Yeah, indeed. Okay. Now, I'll ask you to pause and ask you to have a listen to this. This is your party deputy leader, Piers Doherty, speaking on the Planning for Constitutional Change Bill 2026.
There are moments in life of every nation when history presents a choice. And ours is the Irish generation living through one of those moments. For the first time in a century, the prospect of Irish unity is no longer a distant aspiration. It is a real democratic possibility. The question before us today is not whether that day will come. It is whether we will prepare for it. Because planning is the duty of every government. To plan, to explore the opportunities that unity brings in areas such as healthcare, in education, in public services, the economy, and much more. And a failure to plan is a failure of leadership. Sinn Féin's bill calls on us to prepare, to begin that work now, to ensure that when the moment comes, when people go to cast their vote in a unity referendum, they do so with confidence, with knowledge and with hope. For generations, countless Irish men and Irish women dedicated their lives to the cause of Irish freedom and unity. Many endured prison, hardship and loss. Many made the ultimate sacrifice. The responsibility entrusted on this generation is different. We are not asked to win the opportunity to shape Ireland's future. That opportunity has already been secured through the Good Friday Agreement. Our duty is to prepare for it with wisdom, with confidence, and with respect. And what an opportunity lies before us. An Ireland where every identity is respected, every citizen is valued equally, and every community has its place. An Ireland that unlocks the full potential of our economy, our people, and our shared future. This is about building a future of our country. A future better than the past. A future founded on unity, on reconciliation, on equality, and respect. A future that embraces our union's fellow countrymen and women. Because a united Ireland belongs to everyone who shares this island. History, I heard, has brought us to this point. The future now calls on us to lead. Others may choose to stand still. We choose to prepare with confidence, with ambition, with hope. So let us begin together the work of building a truly equal, free and united Ireland, a real republic worthy of its name, because it is up to us in this House to finish the job.
There you go. That's Deputy Piers Doherty speaking in the Dáil yesterday at the second stage of the private member's bill for the preparing for constitutional change. Deputy Pat Daly, you're obviously agreeing with all of those sentiments and you want the government to start working now.
Yeah, so, I mean, what I've noticed in the last few years when I've canvassed up in the north is that we have the exact same issues come up on the doorstep, north and south. People want job security, they want their bins collected, they want roads fixed, they want waiting lists addressed, they want a roof over their head. And there's huge, we have so much in common, whether it's on a sporting, cultural, like Joel Nahiran is in Belfast this year, and we need to prepare for that. And we had a leaflet, and we did a leaflet drop in Castle Island on Saturday, and I met a man as well. We did a drop around Cahill's Park in Tralee as well, and I was struck by how many people were enthusiastic about it and how many older people in particular would like to see a united Ireland in their lifetime, was the phrase that one man used. So what we have produced here is the Planning for Constitutional Change Bill, which all it is that we want to stimulate, we want a green paper, and we want to consider a citizens' assembly. So what a green paper is, it's just a consultation document to stimulate public debate, gather feedback and suggestions, and get policy together. It's not final legislation or anything like that. And just before I spoke in the Dáil about it last night at 7:30, I was in the Transport Committee where we were discussing, or the Department of Transport were in discussing the Metrolink and how they want to push things on and waive pre-legislative scrutiny and all of that. And they said that the Metrolink won't be delivered. There won't be a train running on that track until the mid-2030s at the earliest. Well into the 2030s, I think was the phrase used. But in the meantime, the Department of Transport obviously wants to prepare. And that's exactly what we want to do as well. We're not saying that there's we have the legislation ready, but we want to get the guardrails in place. We want to start working towards it. There's already an awful lot of work being done. And people in Sinn Féin who, like Conor Murphy, who have worked as, you know, finance minister in the north, when he's going up and down on the train, he meets people from the departments north and south. They're already talking to each other. People in Sinn Féin met the central bank 2 weeks ago to see if there was a United Ireland, how long would it take to get institutions and get work in place so that that could work. And we can learn from Nicola Sturgeon was in Listowel a few weeks ago, and she said that she sees a United Ireland within 10 or 15 years. So let's start working towards it, because I'm not under any illusions that there's an awful lot of work to do to convince people, not only unionists in the north, but an awful lot of people down south as well, who feel, what's in this for me? You know, they're not all like the man on the door in Cahill's Park who says, you know, I'd like to see it, and, you know, no matter what. We have to convince people of the huge opportunities that are there, how it will benefit people north and south. Like, we have two tourism bodies working on the island. We have two, we have an IDA in the north and Invest, an IDA in the south and Invest in the north.
Yeah.
We have two legal systems, we have two police forces, retrofitting, which is part of my brief, and I spoke to my colleague in the north. They have a budget in the north of $3 million a year for retrofitting. In the south, it's about $3 million every day or two. So there's benefits from that people in the north can get, but we can learn as well. Anyone going around the county, in every area that I go to, there's people with English accents who've grown up in Manchester or Birmingham or London, and they are used to, and people in the north are used to, healthcare system which is free at the point of access. And there's a huge opportunity, notwithstanding the huge challenges that are there north and south, but we could learn from each other in having, in tackling waiting lists, using AI to tackle the waiting list. You know, have more cross-border initiatives. But we have to convince the people, as I said, north and south, that there is something in it for them, because it's not,
yeah,
you know, just the aspiration is not going to cut the mustard for people.
No. You've put this timeline on it of 18 months in the Citizens' Assembly to follow on to that, to move the ball, if we can put it that way, Deputy Daly. But what's your response to what the Taoiseach said yesterday, that this bill will do little to achieve its objective, and it takes an approach which has failed repeatedly over the last century? Instead of waving flags in people's faces and talking about the inevitable march of history, we need people to be open about the scale of the obstacles to overcome and the spirit of a peace agreement, which is the bedrock upon which we can build our future. He said the proposal for a policy statement on Irish unity centred around the assumptions of one more push, or that demography is destiny, that the demographics will eventually make this inevitable. And he says those approaches have always failed, and you're doing the same again. What's your response?
Well, it's clear, and we all got a copy of Micheál Martin's statement, and it's clear that he didn't read what is in the legislation at all, and he reproduced the old statements that he has. But there was an AV room or a briefing with Michelle O'Neill in one of the rooms in Leinster House yesterday, where politicians from all parties, from Fine Gael, Eimear Curry was there, a few Fianna Fáilers were there, some independents were there, and, you know, in the actual debate, there was a bit more optimism, and, you know, they're clearly interested in it. McCurry from Fine Gael said that, you know, there is clearly a constitutional reappraisal going on. It shouldn't be driven by decisions from elsewhere. Like in Britain, people in the north are frustrated with the stalemate. But I have to say, Micheál Martin, then, he was at a meeting in Brussels or Strasbourg, and he flew back in to deal with this debate and to run it into the ground, because he reminds me of a fellow that I
knew. Is it not a sign of his commitment to the seriousness of it that he came back?
No, I don't think so. I think that there certainly are some Fianna Fáilers who would have, if it was a free vote, let's say, you know, but the whip has been applied by Fianna Fáil. And Micheál Martin is like a fellow who picks up his football and goes away home unless he has come up with the idea himself. And he hasn't.
He's saying, look, 18 months is nowhere near enough time to sort out the economy, education systems, health services, public service pay, the replacement of sterling, the legal system, policing, the whole lot. That can't be done in a year and a half. That's not credible, is what he's saying.
Of course it can't, but all we want to do is a green paper.
And I suppose you're arguing get started, get a move on all these projects.
Well, get started. And if they want the Metrolink ready for some time in the mid-2030s, why not start working towards the United Ireland? But the important thing, I think, is that Micheál Martin doesn't want to do any work on it at all. And I have his statement in front of me. He's rehashing old stuff. He's mentioning stuff that weren't... there's nothing in our bill about the demographics. But, and there's nothing, you know, he was upset then that people didn't praise him for a shared Ireland initiative, which has done some good work and, you know, has provided money for, you know, the A5 road and, you know, achievements like that. But, you know, you have, in order to get somewhere, you have to have a plan. And there's so much potential, so much benefits in this for people north and south. I suppose particularly more for people maybe in the northern half of the island, because it's easier, obviously, to get to Fermanagh and, you know, the hospitals in Newry and Derry and vice versa up at that end. But there's an awful lot of people in Kerry, Jerry, who, you know, are looking at the 100th anniversary, for example, of Fianna Fáil, whose objective is for United Ireland, and just see that the government, unfortunately, isn't moving. In fairness to Fine Gael, they did present a blueprint. They want to move. It's quite similar to what we want to do. But unfortunately, Micheál Martin seems to be dead set against it, in my view, because he does. If he'd come up with the idea himself, maybe he'd be more interested in it. He mentioned the failures of what happened in Scotland. But I would say we have to learn from what happened in Scotland, that they didn't get the referendum over the line. But what we have to do is we have to convince people north and south. And I met a group of unionists over in England back in March who said, look, we're happy enough the way we are. But they're not saying, no, definitely not ever. We have to convince them how life can be better for them, how healthcare can be better for them, how housing can be better for them.
Are you in any way underestimating the size of that task, though? Like, if you look at the education system in Northern Ireland alone, less than 8% of students in Northern Ireland are in integrated schools. There are still very deep and strong divisions along religious lines. And it starts with education. They go to different schools from the other side. And that's, what are we, 25 years on from the Good Friday Agreement? And that 8%.
But look at the amalgamations that's happening between Queen's and the former college in Dundalk. And what we need to do is we need to... we're not saying that everything will be done in 18 months. But what like, normally, as you're probably aware, you know, this is initial legislation. You could let it go through to committee, debate it. If the government thought that it's not going to take 18 months, if it's going to take, like the Metrolink, it's going to take 10 years, well, then say let's work towards it and have it done in 10 years' time. Of course, we wouldn't be ready for a United Ireland if in every single thing, like, getting the police services together, the legal systems together, the hospital systems together in 18 months. But let's have a discussion about it and start preparing towards it, because there is inevitably going to be a referendum on this. That is bound to happen. And there is a growing acknowledgement among people from a unionist background in the north. It's, you know, there are obviously many concerns there, but I think it's going to happen. So why not prepare to do it and realise the dream of the men of 1916, of the Fianna Fáil men of 1926, and of people in Fine Gael who are the United, who are, where the United Ireland Party, and who are actually preparing a blueprint, and let's start working towards it. Even just from a practical, forget about the idealism, from a practical point of view, to get systems better in place on the island so that we can control what's happening on this island ourselves and make it a better place for everybody to live, socially, culturally, and we might even have a Team Norton's out in the World Cup as well, then wouldn't that be a good thing as well?
Who knows? Who knows? Speaking of which, a listener wants to ask, and it's an unanswerable question at the moment based on what you heard from the government yesterday. You know, when will there be a referendum?
Well, that is within the gift of the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland.
Here's my next question. How concerned are you as a party, and did this in any way inform your thinking on when you moved this bill about the, let's just call it what it is, the circus of a situation in British politics at the moment? Nigel Farage, the leader of the most popular party, Reform, could possibly be the next Prime Minister whenever that happens, has resigned amid, you know, sleaze, as they call it in England, allegations of getting billions of euro, millions of euro, I should say, from foreign nationals and from close political donors without explaining what it was for. He's under investigation. He resigned yesterday and is running in a by-election, which he'll be running in on his own, it looks like. If he takes over, if Reform take over, what care a witch would they have for the situation in Northern Ireland, is one would wonder.
Well, is that
a concern of yours?
Yeah, two things, Gerry. One is, of course, Nigel Farage, he might be running against Count Boatface, is it, whatever they call it.
Count Binface.
Yeah. And it's possible that if the major parties pull out of that race, Farage could be beaten, and that he'd have a difficult way back after that. But certainly it has been taken into account by us, you know, the disruptive situation in England. And what if Nigel Farage or somebody like him became involved, you know, became the British Prime Minister? They could trigger a referendum sooner than we would think, and we'd have no work done for it, or we haven't enough work done for it, we haven't prepared for it. So I would say all the more reason to start preparing, because Nigel Farage has no interest in the north of Ireland, absolutely none. He's, in my view, a little Englander, and he wouldn't have too much interest maybe in Scotland either. In fact, it might suit him if the Scottish nationalist MPs were gone for him to get into power. So all the more reason, I would say, that we have structures in place, that we're talking about it, that there's even at least either a citizens' assembly or a green paper prepared to continue the work to streamline what is going on between the departments already in cross-border initiatives, to move the dial on that little bit more so that we are prepared in case we are blindsided by some Nigel Farage type figure taking control of Parliament in England. So that all the more reason, I would say, and that has been considered, to answer the question that your listener asked.
Okay, and that is all part of it. Look, overall, where does this go from here? Do you think this will be opposed to the end, or will this kickstart something?
Well, I think that from what I was hearing from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs and senators yesterday, it seems that a whip will be applied, and that Fianna Fáil have certainly instructed their members and to oppose this and not to move the dial forward, which is unfortunate. But it won't be over. We can come again with it. We will continue the work. I mean, just in one of the committees yesterday, which deals with tourism and business, I know that they are doing a structure in our section in the run-up to Christmas about how there can be more cross-border initiatives. I know that the Good Friday Agreement did a paper on healthcare in the United Ireland and how that could work and how we could benefit from. There are people in Kerry, for example, already going and getting healthcare, getting their knees done, getting their hips done in the north of Ireland, getting their cataracts done. And to move, how would that all work? So the committees are doing work anyway, but I think it's important that we don't get ground down by the pessimism, if you like, or the lack of initiative that is coming from the top. And, you know, some of the quotes in Micheál Martin's statement, like he said that ignoring the years of violence causes new hurt and reinforces divisions. I mean, that has nothing to do with what the paper is there yesterday. In fact, we've actually been calling for truth and reconciliation commissions. So I thought that his statement was almost irrelevant, but clearly wasn't dealing with the issues. It was avoiding the issues. And that's disappointing that the dial couldn't be moved that little bit forward, because we have to prepare for something that is coming, in my view, inevitably, notwithstanding the fact that we're going to have conversations with people north and south. We wanted to do it in a peaceful and in a respectful way, but there's so much potential there that it would... Partition is actually causing more problems, and we saw that with Brexit, we saw that with COVID, how it's impractical and illogical.
It adds a complicating factor to all of those issues and different crises when they emerge. Okay, Deputy Daly, we're going to have...
strengthens our argument, I would say. Yeah,
okay, we're going to have to leave it there. That's Deputy Pat Daly on Sinn Féin's bill, Portal Dáil yesterday at second stage, urging the government to effectively get moving and putting a timeline of 18 months on the production of a green paper and a setting up of a citizens' assembly on a united Ireland. What do you think? Do you think we're ready? Do you think we have to go slow and easy with this? Is it something that you want? Or is it something that you feel will take much longer than just 18 months and much longer? Again, even though the point that Deputy Daly was making there is they don't expect it all to be done and a referendum to be held in 18 months' time. They want the green paper to get the work and get the planning starting now.